Well, I know that you have a very, very ardent fan base. In fact, the mailing list Ecto is named for one of your early albums. Mm-hmm. The internet and you. What has been the effect of the internet on your career?
Well, it's made my career. I wouldn't have a career if it weren't for the internet. And, you know, I must say, people like Jessica Demski and Vicky Mapes, I mean, these are people who latched onto my music and started getting the word out in a big way. And to this day, Vicky Mapes is still pushing my career. I mean, whatever my career is, it is because largely of Vicky Mapes and her efforts. So, I mean, when this whole thing started, I didn't even know what the internet was. I didn't, obviously I had a computer, but had no, you know, all I did with the computer was make music. So it was all a mystery to me.
Do you find yourself being interested in sort of getting involved with that fan community in a more interactive way? Or would it be better to just let them sort of enjoy the music as they want to?
I think it's not my style. When I say I'm antisocial, I'm pretty serious about that. I don't mean that I'm antisocial in terms of I can't get along in society. I can. But I can't be around people too much because I kind of feel like I get very, very affected on a personal level by people. Not necessarily in a bad way, but like if I'm having a conversation with someone, let's say I have an hour-long conversation with someone, that conversation will stay with me for the rest of the night. I'll think about it and I'll, you know, just constantly brew on it, and because people affect me, you know. It's just, I really like to listen to people. I like to learn about their lives, but I can only take so much because I become saturated. I really do take in so much. So I kind of feel like I'm better off and everyone else is better off if I just kind of stay with my quiet life and let everybody just independently enjoy what I've done. I'm always open to comments or you know, questions or anything like that. I'm really happy to talk to people, but I don't put myself out there actively.
And that kind of brings me to a question about live performance. I know that you perform occasionally, but not a whole lot. I saw you at Ecto West, which I think was in 2001 or 2002, mm-hmm. with the unfortunate incident with the Leatherman tool. But you still did a great set. Do you, for the new CD, are you planning any live performances outside of the Ectofest appearance you made earlier this year?
Let's just say I'm open to it. I haven't actively started planning anything yet. It's kind of like I finished the CD so abruptly, so kind of quickly, just so I could have it available for the Ectofest 2007, that now that it's out, of course that question is coming up, and I haven't had a chance to get my head around it yet. It's, you know, it's a little harder because my husband and I also, my husband owns and runs Dangerous Music, which is an equipment company. Now it's an equipment company. We manufacture pro audio equipment. I actually work for the company. So, and, you know, I'm 42 now, and we have a house, and, you know, so it's like the thought of doing any kind of intensive touring is a little daunting and probably impractical at this point. But I understand the importance of supporting the CD now that it's officially out. So I will probably plan something. I'm not sure how soon, but it'll happen.
So do you enjoy, when you do have a performance schedule, do you enjoy performing live?
I do. You know, I really only enjoy performing live when I feel prepared. And there have been times, most recently, Ectofest 2007, when I've just not really, my head just wasn't there and I wasn't really prepared. Then it just becomes nerve-wracking for me. But if I feel prepared, yeah, I feel great. And I'm kind of, I'm also kind of tired of performing acoustically because it's like, especially with this Find Me CD, there's really not much acoustic about it. It's pretty, you know, it's rock. It's rock and electronic, and And I kind of like, for once, would like to get out there with a band again and not just, you know, do a duo or a trio. And I've done that. I've done that a million times, and I'm kind of tired of it now. So, and again, I'm in the country, so all of my musical contacts are mostly based in New York at this point, and so in order to coordinate something, I'm going to have to hook up with these people again. So
that I am one and many ease at the heart of my disease, yet I am one and many. Tell me that I'm okay, do it for a future claim.
Let's talk a little bit about the new CD, if we can. As you said, it's sort of filled with rock and electronics, yet there's still a couple of very, I don't want to say acoustic, but very ballad-based, like The Chosen One and Little Brother, but definitely The Chosen One, which is a more acoustic type of song. Do you find that you really enjoy playing the rocking stuff better, or the acoustic, or is it...
Yeah. You mean live?
No. When you're recording, do you find that you have sort of a drive to make things loud and, for lack of a better word, queen-like?
Actually, yeah. I mean, it's in a live setting, it's having loud is a pain in the ass because it's just I don't happen to have a very strong voice. Just sheer power-wise, I don't have a very strong voice, so... When the band has to be loud to push, you know, to rock out, it's really difficult for me to compete or to keep up with that vocally. So it's a drag sometimes live. Studio-wise, however, it's just if I were mixing my own, like this for Find Me, if I were mixing the record, all of the drums and all of the bass would be completely overshadowing the vocals. I mean, I would just crank them because I just love it. You know, it's like when you hear, you know, live drums, live bass, live guitar, it's just an amazing thing.
Well, you talked a little bit about performing live by yourself. What about, I think you participated in sort of being a side person for Project Low a few mm-hmm. years ago. Did you find that kind of more entertaining? And is there anything of that nature sort of hovering in the future where you sort of just are with other people, touring with other people or playing out with them?
Well, I mean, I loved playing in Project Low mostly because it wasn't about me, you know? It's just like really, when you spend your whole life being Happy Rhodes or whoever you are and, you know, it's all about you and, you know, you've got a band backing up you, it's like, really nice to just be part of something that's not about you anymore. You're just a supporting player. That's that made it pretty fun for me. And also, I just adore Bon Lazaga and Hanny Rowe. I mean, they're like two of my best friends. So it's always fun hanging with those guys. In terms of doing more of that kind of stuff in the future, I'm not usually asked. I mean, I have been asked to participate in some projects that I've turned down because I didn't feel like I would bring anything useful to that particular project, but one, I'm not going out seeking projects with other musicians, and two, nobody's really seeking me out, so I'm open. I'm open to just about anything.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. It sounds more sort of like David Bowie on the Idiot Tour for Iggy Pop, where he just sort of played keyboards and did backing vocals.
Right.
But that would be kind of a cool thing for you.
Yeah, that would be.
Thank you.
you mentioned a while back perhaps another bit of music coming up. In other words, are you starting to think about your next CD at all, or putting something on?
I'm not thinking about it because, I don't really, until I sit down in front of the instruments, I don't usually feel much. But basically, I just feel like a drive inside me, not any ideas necessarily, but I feel a drive, and I'm starting to feel that drive again. I can't start writing just yet because the studio is not finished. It's not quite put together yet. There's still, I have to get a new recording platform. But once that happens, I'm there. I'm sitting down, and I'll start, and we'll see what's going to be. I think it's going to be probably more of a, I don't know how I'd put it. I'm going to make it a little bit more outside. It's not going to be anything like Find Me. It probably won't have that same sort of progressive-ish live instrumentation feel to it. It's going to be, hopefully, a little more off-center.
Do you have sort of an interest in, for lack of a better word, avant-garde electronic music that might inform that? I noticed a sort of a bit of that on Find Me, and we were talking about the Wave Station. Sort of, for lack of a better word, non-traditional sounds. Do you find any kind of influence from? I think I read somewhere that you were a big fan or Switched On Bach growing up, and did you follow that sort of Wendy Carlos, that sort of thing at all?
The whole Switched On Bach thing, which I was introduced to pretty early on, I thought that was freaking amazing. I thought, like, here's this classical piece of music being played with this with electronics. I thought, wow, that is so weird and so cool. So I've always been fascinated with that, and I've always been drawn to, you know, artists who use cool electronics. I have gotten way more heavy into, you know, just in terms of being attracted to electronic music. But I'm trying to think of, aside from Switched On Bach, Kate Bush and Peter Gabriel, you know, huge innovators there. What was the band? I'm trying to think of the band's name that I loved so much. Non-vocal band. It was just instrumental electronic music. Very, very cool. I can't think of it right now, but it was definitely a big thing for me.
Do you ever...
Art of Noise.
Art of Noise. Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, they are, sort of a tangential Yes connection. Trevor Horn producing them and so forth. And their first album is just amazing. Mm-hmm. The whole idea of taking a Fairlight and turning it into the only instrument you need was kind of an exceptional innovation at the time.
Yeah.
something? Can I say something? Can I say something? Can I say something?
What sort of things do you do when you're not making music?
Well, I build pro audio gear, and I watch movies. I'm a big movie fan, and I just try to keep creative. I mean, I like to do all kinds of, like right now, I'm actually constructing a very scary witch for my front lawn so I can freak out the country folk.
For Halloween, I assume?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I made a witch last year. It was kind of like, I kept it really tame because I didn't want to scare anybody, you know. But this year I'm going to try to make it good and scary just because that's what I do. I like monsters, so. But I'm just trying to stay creative, you know. I like little projects. I like to hand make things.
Have you thought about some sort of art exhibit for your work? Because I know that the people who enjoy your music are also big fans of your art, as evidenced on your covers. So have you ever thought about putting something, an exhibition together?
I appreciate that question, but I think my type of artwork could only be exhibited like in a Kmart or something, because really, honestly, for one, I'm a horrible painter. I can't paint worth anything. And I mean, my skills are very, very raw. I have nothing's refined. I can draw like the Dickens. I mean, I can do a portrait of somebody in pastel, and it's going to be look just like them. It's like amazing. But my technique is really bad. You know, with all across the board, it's like I have the basic skills of drawing. But my techniques are really bad, so I would never exhibit anything. But what I would like to do is get more heavily into doing art. I mean, I made a sculpture out of circuit boards of a moth, and was kind of proud of that. I thought it was a pretty cool thing. So I want to do more sort of circuit board sculptures of things, and I want to get back into painting definitely. So I'd like to do more.
Okay.
She walked down the aisle with all eyes on her lamp she glowed. Someone chose her above all other women they had known. I can only wonder what it must be like to be so perfect in a lover's eyes, the only one they see. Well, it's never been me, the chosen one. It's never been me. Whenever I see a chosen one, I feel ugly. I have never had a symbol of our declaration. Instead, I seem to inspire practical consideration. It's difficult to say just what it is I think I've missed. It's only one day in a white dress with a guest list. But it's never been me, the chosen one. It's never been me. It's in every picture, his eyes intently fixed on her, and it plays on my need to be anything to anyone. Everybody sees me. serenely in front of a family to collect my keys. And though this notion is as flawed as any I have learned, I'd like to think that, like the others, it's something I deserve. But it's never been me the chosen one. It's never been me. Whenever I see a chosen one, I feel ugly. Or will ever I be the chosen one? Chosen one, will ever I be?